Proverbs chapter 3. We are going to be continuing here in the study on why trust in the Lord. Why trust in the Lord? We looked at last week the first aspect of the reality that in our own wisdom we will go astray. If we do not trust the Lord, we will go astray. Even as a Christian in our lives, having depended on Christ for salvation, if we try to live the Christian life in our own wisdom and just live for happiness and pleasure and live for what we think is best instead of a carefulness to follow the Lord and depend on Him, we will go astray and we will squander our Christian life. We saw last week how in the Old Testament, God spoke to the nation of Israel and set before them two roads, right? He said, I set before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. And He said, therefore, choose life. Choose life, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him. All right, so why should we trust the Lord? Because God's way is better. And so for us to love God with our whole heart is important. It's very important for us to obey the voice of the Lord. Proverbs 3, let's begin with verse 1. The Bible says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless our time together. I pray that You would speak to us through Your word. I pray that each one here would receive from You this morning. And help our ears to be open. Help our hearts to receive. We thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So why should we trust the Lord? Well, we're going to look at today the reality that the course of our life will have hardship. You know, we can look at the decisions we make as a fork in the road and which way should we go? And here's a gentleman that's thinking, you know, boy, which direction should I go? Now, if we make the decision on which direction we're going to go by looking who else has gone that road and saying, well, they did that, so I guess I'll do that. Or saying, boy, I want to follow that person. They, you know, they look like they might know where they're going. If we're just making decisions in life based on what looks the best from where we sit, what trail looks better? Oh, well, it's hard to say. What's around the bend? Well, you know who knows what's around the bend? God does. We can't make our decisions based on our own wisdom. The Bible says to lean not unto thine own understanding. Do you know what that means? The decisions we make in our life, we must make them not on what we can see, but what on we know God has said. All right, we need to make our decisions based on a dependence upon God, listening to God. The course of our life is going to have hardships. Did you know that whichever course you take, even if you decide to live for the world and you say, I'm going to go my own way, it's going to be a hard life. It really is, especially in the long duration of it. There'd be many sorrows along that journey. But you know what? Even as we choose to follow Christ, it doesn't mean that the road will have no rocks, no bumps, no bruises. In fact, God actually brings many times trials into his children's lives to make us more like Christ. So let's consider in Acts chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 21. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's been on a missionary trip and has preached to a number of communities, and he's had a bit of a hard road himself. But let's notice Acts 14, beginning with verse 21. The Bible says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." Notice now verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples." That word confirming means to encourage or to strengthen. All right, so they, after traveling through these communities and preaching, Paul and his missionary team make their way back through those communities, and those who had trusted Christ as their Savior, they go back and they encourage them. They try to strengthen them in their new walk with Christ, okay? So that's what it's talking about here. They're heading back through communities where they had just been not too long ago, and they're meeting with the believers and encouraging them. So notice verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Notice that. Paul goes back and he says, "Brethren, keep serving Jesus. Keep walking with God. Keep reading your Bible. Be faithful to church." He's encouraging them in all of these things. But he also tells them, he says, the road is going to be hard. He says, through much tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the Apostle Paul says to these new believers, he says that with much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. And so the course of the Christian life will have its trials. So here's the deal. Are you going to trust God, or are you going to go your own way? You see, the reality is that when we face a trial, it does something to us. We're going to look at two aspects. Number one, hardships or trials. Hardships move us. Number one, a hardship, a trial in our life will either move us closer to the Lord, or it will move us farther from the Lord. You see, we will either, when there's sorrow comes into our life, when there's difficulty, we will either draw closer to the Lord in reading His Word more and in depending on Him more, or we will pull away and harden our heart and be angry at God. That's what's going to happen. When hardships come, they move us. Hardships move us. Let's go to Psalm 84. We'll read a few verses here, beginning with verse 4. Psalm 84 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." I like that verse there. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. And then there's a word, the word Selah, which is a word that says, stop and think about that. Let's ponder what was just said. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Someone who dwells in the house of the Lord is someone who's trusting God, right? Someone who's faithful. They're listening. They're learning. They're really depending on the Lord. And the Bible says those who are dwelling in the house of the Lord, they will be still praising thee. Still praising thee when? Praising the Lord when others are no longer. Praising the Lord when others have turned away. We will be still praising him when others are not. Notice verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. Listen to what the Bible is saying. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. So here's somebody in their life, they're passing through a deep valley, a valley of sorrow. But the Bible says they make it a well. They make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You see, trials move us. Hardships move us either closer to the Lord or farther from the Lord. Here we have the testimony of somebody who passes through the valley. Here's somebody who's been dwelling in the house of the Lord. They have been depending on God. They are praising God. And they pass through a hard trial in their life. And in that trial, they dig a well. It's an illustration of a hard road and a deep valley, a valley of weeping, a valley of sorrow. And illustratively here, we find that the Bible describes how they dig a well. They make it a well. A well is a place of refreshment. A well is a place, perhaps illustratively, supplied by tears. They have turned those tears into a refreshing spot. The very trial in the midst of the valley has actually become a time of closeness, a time of refreshment with the Lord. And so, passing through the valley of sorrow, the valley of weeping, they make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. You know, if we respond correctly to trials, God will give grace, more grace. When we turn away from the Lord in trials, we miss God's grace. And so hardships move us. So why should we trust the Lord? Because hardships will come. Hardships will come. Notice also, not only do hardships move us, but hardships make us. They make us tender or they make us hard. Did you know that the sunshine, as it shines on wax, like candle wax, you put a candle, true wax, out in the bright sunshine, did you know that the wax will soften? It'll soften. It'll be soft, especially if it's a warm sun. That wax will get soft. But did you know that if you put clay out in the sun, it will harden? The same sun melts the wax and hardens the clay. Trials coming into someone's life have the opportunity not by the trial itself, but by how it's handled. The trial will either melt us and make us tender, or it will harden us. I think of the wonderful things that Pharaoh saw in Egypt. He saw the mighty power of Jehovah God, but he hardened his heart. Others saw the mighty power of God, like Rahab, and she drew close to the Lord. Her heart was tender. And she came to faith in the Lord. And so hardships, they move us. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. Somebody once said that trials either make us bitter or better. They make us bitter or better. I think of Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. The story goes that Naomi and her two sons and her husband journeyed to the country of Moab. And in Moab, Naomi saw her husband die. Her husband died. And her sons, who had gotten married, her sons both died. Milion, I think it was, and Chilion. They both died. And Naomi is here, and her husband's died, and her two sons have died, and she's left with her two daughters, Orpha and Ruth. And she tells her daughters, you go back to your people, go back to your gods. And Ruth refused to go. She said, no, Naomi, I will stay with you. Your God will be my God. I'd like to go over to the book of Ruth and read a couple of verses here. Ruth chapter 1. We'll jump right into the last part of verse 13. Naomi is speaking in the middle of verse 13. She says, nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Naomi is saying, God has really been hard on me. God's hand has gone out against me. In verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. All right, and then let's skip forward. So there's Ruth testifying that she wants to follow the true and living God. Verse 21, notice verse 21. She says, this is Naomi saying how things are in her life. She says in verse 20, she says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitterness. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi here says, call me bitter. Call me bitter, because the Lord has been bitter to me. And so you have two people here in the same story. You have Naomi, who had a deeper relationship with the Lord, a longer relationship with the Lord. Naomi was a stronger, you might say, Christian woman. But yet the trials were so hard in her life, they did move her and they did make her. She became bitter. And instead of drawing closer to the Lord, she was drawing away from the Lord. She was angry at God. Ruth, on the other hand, was a younger believer. She had come to trust God as her Savior and as her Lord. And through some of the same trials that she has faced, she actually drew closer to the Lord. She clave unto the Lord. She stuck unto the Lord. And she recognized God's goodness even through the trial. And so how we respond in a trial makes all the difference. Life will have hardships. How we respond either makes us more Christ-like, makes us closer to the Lord, or farther from the Lord and hardened in our heart. Very important. And notice 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice verse 10. The Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Think about that. Think about the first part of the verse. The God of all grace. That's all of the riches of God, all of the goodness of God, the God who is the keeper and supplier of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. I mean, we have a wonderful future. We have a wonderful high and holy and heavenly calling. And he says, unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, God knows what he's doing. When God allows a trial into one of his children's lives, when God brings us down a road and it gets rocky and uphill, and we think, boy, how long is this going to be like this? And this is a hard road. You know what? We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust God, because God has a purpose and plan. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And so God says that he is the God of all grace, and he's called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He says, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect. God perfects us through trials. He makes us what we ought to be. Also, he says he'll establish us. That would be grounded and rooted in Christ, really stable in the Lord. And strengthened. That would be we're a stronger Christian. We've seen God work. We've gone through much, and we've seen his faithful hand settle you. That's a peaceful person. Settled. At peace. There's a rest. And so are you allowing God to do the work he wants? God does bring trials into our lives. Sometimes God brings them on purpose. Sometimes God allows them with purpose. But whether God brings it or God allows it, God is in control. Notice verse 11. It says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's all about him. It's all about his plan and his purpose. Our God is faithful. We could look at the story of Job and see things Job didn't see, what was going on there, and how God was making Job a better man, and how God was fighting battles behind the scenes there as well. And so we know that God knows best, and we need to trust him. So when a trial comes, we can either draw closer to the Lord, we can either depend on him and his word more, we can make it a well when we go through the valley of weeping. We can make it a well. And so trust the Lord. So the key is how we respond. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. What we need to do is trust God. We need to trust God with the hard road of life. When we encounter a hardship, we need to trust God. Even when the road seems smooth, we need to trust God, because we need to trust him with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. We need that direction. The road of life has twists and turns. Let's trust the Lord. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the challenge you've given us today to our hearts and lives. Help us to be faithful to you. Whatever the trial we face today and whatever is around the bend tomorrow, Help us to go deeper in our faith. Help us to Christ-like character to be molded and seen through our lives. Lord, we thank you for this, and I pray that you would help us to be faithful to you and to your calling on our life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.